All right, good to see everybody. We are picking it up, the Mishnah. We're on Daf Kuftes Zayin Amud Aleph, 116a. We're on the bottom. We are at the very long Mishnah. But before we pick it up with the Mishnah, I want to finish off a few miscellaneous things from last week. Last week we learned the Mishnah all the way through the Gemara. We saw the continuation of the process of the Seder as we know it. You pour the second cup and we discussed. You already have a question? I didn't even say anything.
You learned
it also, right? Last time we learned.
For the sake of accuracy.
You want the record to note?
You
I'm well aware I had the flu last week. Okay. So, the Mishnah said that you pour the second cup, and we saw Machlokas Rishonim, but the Rishonim point out the reason you pour the second cup here is to evoke and to elicit the curiosity of the children. It's unusual to pour a second cup before you've even begun the meal. Children are not used to seeing that. So we saw that you pour the second cup, and we saw the format. The pedagogic format is that of question and answer. We saw the insight of the Rav last week, because since the issue is not whether the issue is not Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in terms of filling in knowledge which was absent, but the idea is to analyze and dwell, that means the reason the Rambam had that different girsa. Remember the Rambam had the different girsa? V'chol amarba, the Rambam had the extra, even if you know everything, you still have to tell over Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the reason is, it's not to tell a story, the reason is to get into it. Where we last left off, the Mishnah ended, was Mascha Beginus Masayim Mishvach, that you have to begin with something which is degrading and end with something complimentary. And then Dorish Mi'arami Avid Avi, Avi Ach Yigmor Kol La Parsha Kula. And the Gemara ended with the Machlokas, famous Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. The Mishnah is very ambiguous. What does it mean to begin with something which is degrading and end with something which is complimentary? So we saw the Gemara ends with Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. My Genus, Rav Amar Mitchila Ovdei Avodas Gilulim Hayavaseinu. Rav says the degrading information is that we were idolaters. Shmuel amar avadim ayinu. And Shmuel says the negative is that we were physical slaves. And then the Gemara concluded with the story that someone might be exempt. So we're talking about, how do you know this? How did the Mishnah know that the format of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Mascha Beginus Umasayim Beshvach? Where do you see that from the Torah? How do you know the qualification of fulfilling this mitzvah is Davki in this format? Just tell the story. Why do you have to start with something lowly and end with something complimentary? So if you recall, we saw the Or HaChaim last week, Rav Chaim ibn Attar. The Or HaChaim said, it's from the Pasuk, state in the Pasuk. It says, V'yigadot levincha bayom ahu le'mor. Tell your child on that day, saying. Pasuk begins with the word V'yigadata, ends with the word le'mor. What's the difference between Haggadah and Amira? So we know from later in the Torah, Kosomar leves Yaakov, Yisagil Avnei Yisrael. We know that Kosomar, we use the Lashon Amira for Beis Yaakov. Rashi there says, what's the Lashon Amira? Amira is a Lashon Rach, soft. And at Visaged Levnei Yisrael, and to the men, Visaged, a Lashon Haggadah, is a strong language. So if you take the definition of Haggadah and Amira from Kosomar Leves Yaakov, and you apply it to V'higarata Levincha Bayom Ahu Leimor, what do you see? First Haggadah, V'higarata Levincha, then Leimor. Mascha Beginus, a Lashon Kasha, U'Masayim Mishvach, a Lashon Rach. That was the insight of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. We also saw, and this is the first page of your handout, we didn't really get a chance to look into it, that's why I want to start from here. The Griz, Ravel Vosalovichik, in his Perish on Al Torah, the stencil, Kuf Mem Zayin, he says, Hinei Hodem Azkirin Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Kriya Shema, Tzarech Bir, Eza Shayachas Yesh L'Zchiris Yitzias Mitzrayim L'Kriya Shema. Why is it that we also talked about 2 weeks ago, the insight of Reb Chaim Brisker, that there are three differences between the daily obligation of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Seder night obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Reb Chaim introduced three differences. His grandson, the Rav, introduced a fourth. Anyone remember what the fourth was? Anyone remember what the first three were? You remember Reb Chaim said, Zechira is Leveno Levein Atzma, where a Sipur you have to have with somebody else. Reb Chaim said, Zechira Yoyotze with a sentence, but Sipur requires being Marbe, the whole story. Reb Chaim had a number of differences, and the Rav added a fourth difference, which was, Zechira is an independent mitzvah to remember. Whereas Sipor, when you tell the story, it must conclude with Hallel. You haven't really told the story if the story doesn't motivate you to express gratitude. Last 2 weeks ago, the day after we learned that Rav inside, I spoke at a Sudas Hodah. So I mentioned the story of the person who was gravely ill, who had recovered from 8 surgeries, and Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, has his health back, that to tell the story of the circumstance he was in, and not have it motivate and lead you towards Hallel V'Hodah, means you're not Yotza, you didn't really tell the story. To really tell a story, to relive the experience, means you're so moved by it, that you move to a world of Hallel and Hodah. So the Rav added on his grandfather a fourth distinction. So the mitzvah, one of the distinctions is Zechiriyah Yotzei B'Kriya Shema. We're Yotzei, Zechiriyah Sitzis Mitzrayim, every night, every day when we say Kriya Shema. So the Griz asks, Rav Elvel asks, what connection is there between Zechiriyah Sitzis Mitzrayim and Shema? Halohi mitzvah miyuchedas. So the Griz, the Brisker Rav says, you know what the connection is? The following. What's the pasuk at the end of the third paragraph of Shema? I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt to be for you God. The reason we left Egypt was not to attain liberation. God did not take us out of Egypt to become a free political entity. The culmination, we spoke about this, the culmination of Pesach is Shavuos. The Ramban, that the days of Sfira are the Chol HaMoed in between Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach are the first days of the Yontif, Shavuos are the last days of the Yontif, and Sfira Sa'omer is Chol HaMoed. And that's why, what's Shavuos called in the Torah? Atzeres, just like Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the last days of Sukkot. Pesach is the last, Shavuos is the last days of Pesach. So you see here from the Pasuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out, why? Liyos lachem lelokim. V'kevin shekein arei yesh b'schiros yitzias Mitzrayim, l'man liyos lachem lelokim, kabalos ol machu shemayim. V'lachein hi nechlelos b'kriya shema, shu inyan kabalos ol machu shemayim. U'v'zeh mezbor ma di'isa b'psachem, mascha b'genos u'mesayim b'shvach, u'pligi mai genos, Rav Amar Mitchilo Avdei Avodah Zarah Yavoseinu. Shmuel Amar Avodim Ayinu. V'tzarach Bir, Mai Shayeches Mitchilo Avdei Avodah Zarah Yisipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, to talk about the fact that we were enslaved and we were persecuted, and ultimately we were liberated, why include the fact that you were idolaters? What in the world does that have to do with anything? If you tell the story of being liberated from the Holocaust, from a concentration camp, would you include that before going into the camp, a person wasn't scrupulous about a particular thing? What does it have to do with anything? What does that have to do with Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Says the Brisker Rav, "Lefi Mashakosav Ariko Yitzias Mitzrayim Ulaman Kabbalas Malchuso Yisborach." V'lachein Tzarach Lasaper Shemitchilah Hayu Avoseinu Ovdei Avodah Zarah Va'ata Yatzanu Mitzrayim Kibalnu Asa Torah. Since the whole tachlis of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is that we arrived at a place of monotheism, that we arrived at Har Sinai, that we arrived at Kabbalas Torah, it's intrinsic and integral to the story to begin that we were idolaters. Because the real story is not about our physical enslavement and physical freedom. Says the Brisker Rav, the real story is we were idolaters who discovered God. That's the tachlis of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is why, according to Shmuel, Mascha Beginos Mesayim Eshvach means Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Good. Yes?
There may be a more direct
right,
about God giving a commandment to Moshe, and Moshe is reporting back it didn't work because they were so immersed in it.
So even more so, you're saying, even in Mitzrayim we underwent this transition. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The Ritva says, if you turn the page, and again we just want to close the loose ends of last week about Masra Beginusu Messiah Beshvach, says the Ritva on Avadim Ayinu, are Rav and Shmuel really disagreeing? Are Rav and Shmuel mutually independent? Are they mutually exclusive of one another? One says Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, one says Avadim Ayinu. So says the Ritva, no. Really, they agree that you have to say both. The question is, which one's first? Which one's more important? Zeu tchilas agado tshuvas manashtan lafisha avadim ayinu leparo v'gemara amru matzcha beginus mesayim eshvach losei shevach v'odo l'ashem asher mashpos yorem evyon v'nechluk v'gemara maiginus rav amru mitchil ovdei avod zora rav amru me'avadim ayinu leparo u'maskana kavasei. Interesting, he says Rav, it should be Shmuel. Tehu basro Rav Nachman Avi Kavasei Beuvda Dedaro Avdei Mestabra Shlo Nechleku Umestabra Shlo Nechleku Eze Be'ela Be'eza Maschilim. The Rav Sofer Mitchilu Kamoshaya Maisa and Shmuel Amar Me'avadim Ayinu Shutokfo Shalnes. So the Ritva understands that they're not debating which one to say. Rav and Shmuel are not mutually exclusive, one or the other. They agree that in order to fulfill Maschil Beginus, you have to say both. The question is, which one do you start with? Which one do you start with? There's a whole new way of understanding the machlokas in the Gemara. Why is this so? We saw from where do we know it? According to the Rachaim, it's from the pasuk. V'yigadta levincha b'yom ahu le'mor. V'yigadta le'mor. Lashon kasha, ending with lashon raka. Genus teshvach. That was the Rachaim. According to the Brisker Rav, you see it from the pasuk. You're yotzei it through Ani Hashem Elokeichem, the tachas of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. According to the Ritva, it's not either or, it's both. It was a question of which one's first. But the question is why? Why Maschil B'Ginus Mesayim Mishvach? It's an unusual, somewhat bizarre way to tell a story. If you're having a Suda Soda, so tell the story of the miracle. Don't talk about how you were unworthy. Talk about the excitement of celebrating whatever the miracle was. It's kind of a bizarre way to start. So the great Malbim, says the following in his Agada, on the next page, page 3. Avadim ayinu, achare esorurus al shinuyim amorim b'ktar ala avdus v'amariris v'alagu'ula v'atamur l'cheiris, maschil nasaper ba'arucho l'fari peprotas kol nyani agalos v'agu'ula. After we allude to some of the issues, now we get into telling the story, the details. V'shaninu perak arei p'sachem, maschil b'ginus ha'masai m'shvach, ki im lo yaschil l'saper ha'ginus ha'kodem lo yurgash ha'shvach, Vatov Shalachrona. Says the Malbim, contrast. Contrast is what gives us appreciation. It's only that we understand the Shvach in the context of Ginus. It's only when you understand what we achieved in the context of where we began that you could really appreciate it. Kirakim Yisyatzvu Leneged Einenu Shnek Tzavos HaMesnagdim. Only when you see the two opposite extremes before you, Az Yolel Asipur Pulaso Benafshenu. You want the impact of the story? You want the story to be transformative? You want to be transmitted back to when the story occurred? You need to see the transition. You need to see the contrast in the story. V'aminu La B'Gemara Mai Ginos Rav Amar Mitchila Avodazar. And so on and so forth. So the Malbim, the reason that we begin with Genus is not because the Genus has value per se, but it's that you can't appreciate the Shvach unless you have the Genus. It's the Havdalah, it's the distinction, it's seeing against the backdrop of the Genus of where we began, that's where you appreciate how far you've come. If you take a Polaroid, you take a snapshot of somebody with no context, it doesn't necessarily give you an appreciation. You know, if somebody, you take a picture of somebody, okay, but if you have a before and after picture of that person, and they lost 100 pounds, now you have an appreciation of where they began and how far they come.
Wouldn't it work both ways?
What do you mean?
Start with the good news and go back to what it was before.
But
you still appreciate. They still have the contrast.
Okay, but the before...
It's good.
Right.
But you still have the
contrast. So you want to end with a good. So you start with the bad and you go to the transition. But it's the before and after picture. To show a picture of a thin guy, you say, okay, what do I know about this guy? Big deal, he looks thin. You see a before and after picture, and you saw him when he weighed 100 pounds more, now you say, ooh, wah! Now you're impressed. So, in order to get the uwa at the Seder table, that's what Malbim says, Maschil Beginus Umesayim Bishvach. The Maharsha of Shmuel Idels, the next page, page 4. The Maharsha here in the back of our Gemara has another interpretation. Why Maschil Beginus Umesayim Bishvach? Zog the Maharsha. Inyano Shabiyom Simchas Libo Shaladim Yiskor Tchila Shefluso Uganuso Shotazurach Daito Alav. You know what the answer is? Don't get so high on your horse. Remember your humble beginnings. On the very day that you celebrate how far you've come, on the very day that you celebrate Yom Simchas Libo, you should remember your humble beginnings. Never forget where you came from. The people who forgot where they came from are the people who get in trouble. If you stay true to your roots and you remember where it all began, you stay humble. That's why the Maharsha says, Yizkor Tchila Shifluso, remember the beginning of your lowliness. Keep your humble roots. So the Maschil Beginus is, don't just get together. You're sitting around the table, you're eating royally and regally. You're using your fine china. We saw based on the Gemara that you should use your fine china, and we saw that Haseba, and we saw all the things Derech Malchus. So you know what? It's going to go to your head. So the Marsha says the reason Mascha Beginos is to prevent it from going to your head. Rabbi Friedman.
I'm surprised they don't quote the rest of the point. The lachet ami, they are doing. That would be really clearly what the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is. That fits with
correct. It fits with the Brisker Rav, that the tachos of Yitzias Mitzrayim is viavduni, 100%.
The second point is, I can understand use with regard to, the Obey Avodah Zorah. Obey Avodah Zorah is use, and that's terrible. But the fact that Avodah Zorah, I wouldn't call that gnus. That's certainly a certainly unhappy circumstance. But gnus has, it seems to me, has the implication of something that we did to deserve derision or disrespect.
Good.
So I see a distinction between those two aspects.
It's a great point. Correct. In other words, to be idolaters is indeed something deficient in you. That's something degrading about you. The fact that you were enslaved by others and persecuted by others. I guess what it just means is to be a slave is a lowly state. So the gnus is avadim ayinu. We were in a lowly slate. We were low. We were avadim, but we were also memtesh shari tuma. We were in a lowly place.
They all seem to have missed the main point, though. They all seem to which
is
the main.
I'm missing it too.
That it's all a design. That it's all hashkafa pratos. That it didn't just happen. It's not an accident. It was all a big design. And
well, I think that's what they're alluding to. Is the contrast that we went from point A to point B. We don't just celebrate arriving at point B. We go back to point A to point B.
That's why you go back to point A. Because right. To demonstrate that it is in fact a design.
Good. And this is along the lines we studied a couple of blad ago when we went through Hillel and Korech. And Yotze Yudei Shnehem. And the Korech, Hillel Haya Korech Matzah Umarar. We said, why was Bizman HaMikdash Hillel eat the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror? What's pshat? Why is he eating the maror? Eat the Pesach and the matzah. Why in the world would he put the maror in this sandwich? And we said over then too, that the idea is even when you achieve the freedom, you don't forget the maror. You don't forget the bitterness. That's part of the Maschal Beginus of Messiah Meshvach. The former chief rabbi of the United Kingdom, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, in his Haggadah, on the next page, 5 in the top, he writes the following. The Mishnah states as a general rule, that in telling the story of the Exodus, we begin with the shame and we end with the praise. A Jewish story begins in sadness, and ends in joy. What specifically does this mean? Talmud records Shmuel and Shmuel, two sages of the 3rd century. Shmuel says, "Ode avodah zara, I'm sorry, avodim ayinu l'parav mitzrayim, according to Rav, ode avodah zara yu avoseinu." Out of respect for the two views, we say both, beginning with the answer according to Shmuel. That's not like the Ritva, by the way. But anyway, the two opinions reflect different approaches to the Exodus. According to Shmuel, the central fact is physical redemption. Our ancestors were slaves who were liberated by God. According to Rav, the essential theme is spiritual redemption. Our ancestors were idolaters who found and were found by God. There's a difference, too, in their approach to history. Shmuel focuses on the immediate event of Egypt, slavery and redemption. Rav places the event in a wider context, the whole history of the Jewish people from Avram to Yeshua and the conquest of the land. Oh, for Rav, Pesach is part of a larger drama, from founding father to the birth of a nation in its own land. Rambam draws a third distinction. There are two elements to the Seder service. There's the story we tell our children and the story we tell ourselves. Shmuel focuses on the story as told to a child. Rav speaks of the story as an adult reflection. Children can understand the drama of slavery and freedom together with the many miracles that were involved. It takes an adult to understand the journey from polytheism to monotheism, from myth to faith. So Lord Sachs, in his inimitable style, also provides a little insight into why Maschal Beginus and Messiah Mishvach. Yes?
I have a din in Shmir Shaloshin that whether it's a convert or whether it's a Balshiva, you don't mention his shady past,
right.
His pulling his
feet. Right.
Why isn't that operative here?
It's a good question, and it's a question you could ask on Kol Torah Kula. It's a question I wonder every time the Torah tells us the story of Miriam and her Lashon Hara, every time the Torah tells us something negative about our Avos, the Imaos, any time in Tanakh. It tells us something. Sometimes the Gemara will make reference to something and won't tell you explicitly, and Rashi will say it's referring to such and such, but the Gemara didn't want to degrade them by saying it explicitly. So why is Rashi revealing who it is? So the answer that's always explained when that happens is because when we can learn something from it, then it's not a violation. So here, first of all, it's collectively, it's nationally, it's all of us. It's not reminding a specific person. And so maybe that's why. Okay, the last thing I want to say on the Maschal Beginus Messiah Mishvach, yeah. Yeah.
In dramatic as Egel Hazal to go and tell the Sipor, we are avodim.
Right.
Now we're avodim.
Well, we leave, the Haggadah leaves at a certain point. The Haggadah is about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not about Bias La'aretz, or it's not about the Arbaim Sharon Bamidbar. So the Haggadah is not telling the story of Jewish history. It's telling us specifically about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then we'll get to Matan Torah on Shavuos. So we should remember the Egel sometime in between Pesach and Shavuos, as when it occurred. But the Pesach is specific to Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Egel already is when we're on our way. It's after Kabbalah Satorah. I want to share with you one last insight, and the reason I thought this was particularly relevant is for those who are learning the Daf. By a show of hands, how many people are learning the Daf? I had a feeling this crowd would be learning the Daf. So listen to this fantastic insight. This comes from Ipnine Harav. Rav Schechter wrote, Rav Schechter has three Sifri Halacha, and he has three intellectual biographies of the Rav. Nefesh Harav, Ipnine Harav, and Divrei Harav. So in the middle Sefer called Mipnine Harav, Rav Schechter quotes the following, and this is in reference to a recent sugya in the Daf, where the arrow I have on page 6 is in Mipnine Harav. B'mafker Avdel, on page 6. B'mafker Avdel, those of you who remember, we just finished the third parak of Gittin, and at the end of the parak, we went through the sugyas of Eved Kenani, and there the Gemara records a machlokas Rav and Shmuel in the case of Mafker Avdel. You own an Eved Kenani. This week's parasha, Parshas Mishpatim, you own an Eved Kenani, and you're mafter your Eved. You relinquish your rights. You declare the Eved ownerless. Nechleku Rav Shmuel, Gittin Lamedches. Itzarach get shichrur or lo. Just like when a man divorces a woman, there is a document which is what effectuates the divorce. So too, normally, when one frees a slave, there's a get shichrur. It's also a document, a get, which effectuates his freedom. So the machlokas is that only true when you are releasing the slave or to his own freedom or to another person? Or even if you're mafkir, even if you declare owner as the slave, do you still need to get shechur? To a hefka rak yachol lochol al kinyan amamon velo al kinyan ha'iser. You remember the sugya? Anyone learn the daf? So the relationship between the master and the slave, there's a dual relationship. On the one hand, there's a kinyan mamon. On the one hand, the slave represents property of the man. Again, this is foreign to all of us. We don't have slavery today. But on the one hand, the slave is the property of the master. So I own a car, and I own a couch, and I own a watch, and I own a slave. And that is a din in mamon. It's a kinyan mamon. I have a property ownership, property rights. On the other hand, there's a kinyan iser. There is a status to the slave. The state, Eved Kenani is a chayav mitzvah like an isha, like a woman. There's a kinyan iser. There's a status to the slave. So, bekesh la divrei gemara, there's also meres Eved Ivri gufo kanoi, Shmuel derish, mikro divachol Eved ish, derak Eved sheyesh lo rabo rishus olav, yesh bo gam kinyan iser, v'mafkir avdo me'achar she'ahefkar mafkir as kinyan amamon, me'mele poka gam kinyan iser me'alav. So Shmuel is of the opinion that when the owner declares the slave ownerless, just like that releases the kinyan mamon, releases the ownership of the master, so the kinyan iser goes with it. The identity status, the iser, consequences go with it. V'lo kai malon kishmuel ela karav. But we don't paskin like Shmuel, we paskin like Rav. Hasover da mafker avdo yotza lecheirus, benogei ela kinyan mamon. V'tzorach get shichrur lafkias kinyan iser. T'lodor shach krahachi. Rav doesn't learn the pasuk the same way as Shmuel, and Rav says the two don't go together. Being mafkir the eved releases him from the kinyan mamun, but the kinyan iser remains in place until you write a get shichrur. The islay de'ain. In other words, a man and a woman, a husband doesn't have a kinyan mamun on his wife. He has certain rights to his wife's masa yadeh and so on, but he doesn't. He has a kinyan iser. There's a kinyan iser in the sense that she's an eishes ish, and in order to release that kinyan iser of a husband to a wife, he has to write a get. Whereas a master and a slave, there's two relationships. There's a kinyan mamon and a kinyan iser. So Shmuel says the two go together. If you release the kinyan mamon, then the kinyan iser automatically goes with it. Whereas Rav doesn't learn the pasuk that way and says, no, the kinyan, the being mafkir, releases the kinyan mamon. You no longer own the slave, but the kinyan iser, the relationship, like a husband and wife, still requires a get shichrur. So says the Rav, Rav Schechter quoting here, this is what Rav and Shmuel are arguing about in Maschel Beginus U'Masayim B'Shvach. Shmuel, b'tchilo of the avodah zara hayavaseinu. Klomar, the ikar atachos the yitzias mitzrayim haisa ba'ad kabbalas haTorah b'shas mayim har sinai u'gedachsid b'kra b'otziachas ha'amim mitzrayim ta'avdunas ha'elokim al ahar hazeh u'gedachsid ani Hashem elokeich masher otzisich mitzrayim. Yos lachem lalokim, v'cheinu b'kama b'kama p'sukim, uv'vaday tzrichim lahudos al av zeh b'lo pesach, v'inyan zeh de kabbalas haTorah shel achar achirus hamamunus hapolitit gudru kumo afkos kinyan ha'iser shel ha'eved ha'knani. So, Maimon Har Sinai was the release of the Kenyan Isser, not the Kenyan Mammon. When we left Egypt, was the release of the Kenyan Mammon. The Mitzrim no longer had a physical ownership over the Jews because we got out of Egypt. But what about the Kenyan Isser? What about the psychological impact? We were still a slave mentality. We were slave, still idolaters. Like Mr. Grunstein said, we were still worshipping the gods of Egypt. What about the Kenyan Isser that remained? So the Kenyan Isser wasn't released until Har Sinai. V'aliba d'shmuel asover, sh'amafger avdo yotze l'cheirus ve'ein tzarech get shichrur, klomar, t'al yidei afkos kenyan mamon memele yenifka af kenyan Isser, azai b'mashomrim avadam ayinu, memele m'shtam m'mizeh af inyan pedus nafshenu, ve'ein tzarech l'partu l'hedja. So geshmak, no? The Rav here connects. If you're learning the daf and you come to the shir, oh, it's geshmak. So, according to Shmuel, that the moment you release the Kenyan Mammon, the Kenyan Isser goes with it. So when the master declares the slave ownerless, they're also now divorced, the master and the slave. Not only does the master not own the slave, he's also divorced from the slave. The two go together. So according to Shmuel, when we left Egypt through the miracles of leaving, we were no longer owned by the Egyptians, and we were divorced by the Egyptians. So all we have to say is, Avadam Ayinu, and we went into, now we are free. Ach me'achar dekaimel and karav, the mafkir avdo yotz lacheres vaday tzarach get shichur lafki as kinyan ha'iser de'ena nifka memela hachinam ekaimel and karav devolel pesach lo sagi b'masha omrim avadim ayinu utzrichim lahaskir lahedja shemetchila ovde avodah zara yavoseinu dolo meshtama memela mima shekvar siparnu odos afkos kinyan ha'mamon. But since we paskin like Rav, that when the master declares the slave no longer owned by him, the Kenyan Isser, the divorce does not happen. You still need a get, you still need a divorce. So when we left Egypt, we were no longer owned by the Egyptians, but we were not yet divorced from the Egyptians. So therefore, you need a get shichrur, and that's the get shichrur that mitchila of the avodah zarah v'seinu, and then we went to Har Sinai. And that's the Rav is saying, that Rav and Shmuel are lefi shita sam. Just the same thing they paskin in the case of Hamafkir Avdo, do you need to get shichur, is the same machlokis in the Masl Genus, is it Avadim Ayinu, or is it Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah? If you're not learning the daf, you for sure lost me. If you are learning the daf, you still might have lost me. But those who got it, it's geschmack, and I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah. Should make a brocha achron, it's delicious, it's geschmack.
It's a very deep connection. The Gemara says the reason why they know that way deserve it's fine.
Right.
It was part of that. That's why they became so attached to it. And they get shifted.
Well, so that's part of the marriage to the gods of Egypt. Beautiful.
So that's maybe that's why probably Rob finds it the deny is to have to go back to the very beginning because the Avodah Zarah.
Because the Avodah Zarah. Yeah, and then the Rav continues. That's why we said in our Mishnah, Masa Beginus Masai Mishvach, the Darshan Arami Ovid Avi. So he says, Mavur b'mishnah, Shadorsham is Pashas Mikra Bikura me Arami Ovid Avi, Venir Lomar. To everyone who said, what's that doing at the Seder? And who is the Arami Ovid Avi? We all been to the Seder a few times. Venir Lomar, Daliba de Shmuel, Arami Ovid Avi, Koy Alavan. Shalavan, because Lakor Sakol, Daliba de Shmuel, Ain Minatzorach Lask, Mavur Zinya Shikra, Mekinian Isser. Ukaomor, Vesinin Kabosa Torah, Melu, Ain Lacha Ben Choran, Mishosi Bitorah, Valiba de Rav. So you have Rav and Shmuel, the Shita Sam, in a three-way machlokas. Number one, Amafkir Avdo, do you need to get Shechur? Number two, Mascha Beginus, is it Avadim Ayinu or Mitchila Avodah Zarah? And number three, Arami Ovid Avi, is the Arami Lavan or is the Arami Terah? And you put the three machloksim together, and it's lefi shita sam, says Rabbi Soloveitchik. Okay, all of that is the end of the last time we learned. We're up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Tes Zayin, Amud Aleph. Zog the Mishnah, a long Mishnah. We're going to go all the way through the Mishnah, and then we'll come back and touch it up line by line. The two lines in the bottom, Kufta Zayin Amud Aleph. A famous Mishnah. We all know this Mishnah from the Haggadah. This is the point in the Haggadah that we get excited. As soon as you start saying these words, you know what? The food's coming. You're going to eat soon. And what are the words? Rabbi Gamliel Aya Omer. Rabbi Gamliel used to say, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Elu BePesach Lo Yatzei Yidei Chavaso. Whoever does not say these three things on Pesach has not fulfilled his mitzvah. We'll talk about it in a moment. Has not fulfilled his mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Which mitzvah? So what are the three things you have to say? Pesach Hashem ShePesach HaMakom HaBatei Abasin B'Mitzrayim. Why do you eat the Korban Pesach? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the houses of our forefathers in Egypt. Shenemar, state in the Pasuk, Ve'amartim Zeh Pesach U'Lashem Asher Pesach. Why do we eat the matzah? Hashem Shenigalu Avosein Mitzrayim. We eat matzah because our forefathers were redeemed from Egypt. Shenemar, Vayofu Zabatzeik Asher Otziyim Mitzrayim. They ate the, they baked the dough when they came out of Egypt. And lastly, Moror, Hashem Shemoror Mitzrayim Eschay Avosein Mitzrayim. Shenemar Vayomoru Es Chayeyim. By the way, a question, there's a million questions on this Mishnah. We could spend the next 10 years just on this Mishnah. But one of the questions is,
the order.
It's out of order. Pesach, Matzah, Maror, what should it be? Maror, Pesach, Matzah. Maror, Matzah, Pesach. Either way, Maror should be the first, not the last. Why is Maror at the end? But anyway, we'll come back to it. So, Vayter Becholder Vador Chayev Adam Lirosas Atzmo Ki Luhu Yotzo Mimitzrayim. In every generation, person has to see themselves. We know the Rambam had a different girsa. How does the Rambam have it? Chayev Adam Laharos Es Atzmo. A Jew has to exhibit. If you ever been to a Sephardi Seder, you'll see they actually take a pekel, they throw it on their back, they walk around the Seder table, and they have drama. They relive the drama of leaving because the Rambam has the girsa, not Liros, not that you have to see yourself. But laharos is atzmo. How do you know this? Shneimar v'gad levin chabayom hu lemor v'avur ze asu Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. Good. So we say Rabbi Gamliel and the three things, and then we say b'chol dor v'dorchai v'adam liros. And now lefichach, we get to lefichach. Lefichach. What's the lefichach? By the way, again, I told you we could talk about this for 10 years. Lefichach. Therefore, what do you mean? What's the therefore? Because of what? Pesach matzah maror or b'chol dor v'dor. What's precipitating the lefichach? What's generating the lefichach? Okay, but whatever it is, lefichach, anachnu chayavim lahodos lahal shabech lefer l'ramein l'ader l'varech l'alei u'lekaleis. Many, many forms of praise. L'mishasol avaseinu v'lanu asanisim ha'elu, to the one who did these miracles for us. Hotziyanu me'avdus l'chayrus, me'yagon l'simcha, me'evel l'yantif, me'afeilu l'yor godol, me'shibad l'geula. No malafanav, hallelujah. Okay, that's the girsa of the Mishnah. Ad heichan hu omer, how far do you go? Because next, what do you do next? So we said, Rabbi Gamliel taught us, you have to speak out the three things, Pesach, Matzah, Maror. And you have to see yourself as if you left Egypt. And therefore, we don't know exactly what that means, but, and therefore you have to praise Hashem. And if you're praising Hashem, now it's time to recite Hallel. So the Mishnah wants to know, Ad heichan hu omer, how much Hallel do you have to zug at the Seder? We're hungry. It's getting late. B'shamay omrim ad eim abonim smecha. B'shil omrim ad chalom eshlamay nomayim. And chosem, and after we say the half hallel, or we say half of the hallel, now we finish the Haggadah with b'geula, with a bracha on geula. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, what's the bracha? Asher ga'alonu v'galus avasenu v'mitzrayim v'lo haya chosem. Rabbi Tarfon would not end. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Cain, Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Yagiyenu L'modim L'rgal Machirim Abon L'krasim L'shalom Smeichem B'vinyan Yirecha V'sosim B'vodesecha V'nuch Hashem. Depends if you know from your Haggadah whether it's a Motzei Shabbos or not. But V'nuch Hashem Menapsachem Menazvachem Menazvachem Menapsachem Ad Baruchat Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. Okay, there is a lot to talk about. Let's go back. Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. It's unusual, right? What does the Mishnah usually say? Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Mishnayos have tell us Tanoim say things. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Shua Omer. What do you mean Haya Omer? What's Pshat? Haya Omer. So if you look at page 8, look at page 8 in the handout. In fact, by the way, if you look at the Girsa of the Rambam, I didn't make a copy of it for you because the booklet was too many trees already died. But the Rambam, in the Rambam's Haggadah, look in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Rambam does not have the word Haya. In the Rambam's Girsa, he just says, Rabbi Gamliel, Omer. So why is our Girsa very unusual? Mishnah, telling us a Tana, Haya, Omer. Rabbi Gamliel, Haya, Omer. So perhaps the meaning is, like we say in Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is the only place where we do have Tanayim. Over and over it says, Haya, Omer. So for example, Shimon HaTzadik, Hu Haya, Omer. Antigonish Isocho, Hu Haya, Omer. And so on. So the Bartanura writes, if you look on the bottom of the page there, 8, Hu Haya Omer, Klomar, Kach Haya Margala Bepume, Tomid, V'chein Kol Rav Ploni Omer, Hu Haya Omer, Shemesech Zu, Perish Haya Rog Yolomar Kein Tomid. Says the Bartanura, whenever in Pirkei Avos it says, Hu Haya Omer, what it means is, he used to love to say over the Pshat. Remember I told you last time we learned that the Rosh Yeshiva could repeat it over and over again, and you say, oh, my Rosh Yeshiva loved to say. The rabbi repeats it, and you say, what, the rabbi ran out of material? Repeated a drasha? We heard that drasha. We know that drasha. The Rosh Yeshiva could say it 1,000 times, you'd get more excited every time he said it. Oh, geschmack, my Rebbe loves to say. The Pope or Rabbi repeats it, and you say, yeah, maybe we should review his contract. So, says the Bartanura in Pirkei Avos, Hu Haya Omer means he was known Margala Bapume. He used to love to say. So some explain, what does it mean here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel, Haya Omer? What it means is, it's telling us what Rabbi Gamliel did at his own Seder. Every year at his Seder, Haya Omer. He wasn't just teaching a din, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, that the halacha is such and such. But Rabbi Gamliel, Haya Omer, Rabbi Gamliel Taka at his Seder every year used to say this Shtikl Torah. He used to say that if unless you do these things, Lo Yatza Yidei Chavasa. The other interpretation, which is very popular, Avram Belazon said it the other night at the Beis Medrash program regarding his father. The other pshat is, Hu Haya Omer is who. He, in his own life, Haya Omer, he was a living embodiment of that message. Whenever the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, what it means is who, the person Haya Omer, the very life, the life they led, they were the embodiment of the message, Hu Haya Omer. Okay, so that's the first thing is, why does the Mishnah say, Gamliel Haya Omer, the Rambam Taka takes out the word Haya, and the Rambam has just the word Rabbi Gamliel Omer. But the real question on this sugya, the ikar question on this sugya is, Rabbi Gamliel teaches Lo Yatza Yedei Chovaso. Now we're going to come back and study in a moment. What does it normally say in the Mishnah when you're teaching a din? Kosh Lo Omer Kriya Shema Lo Yatza Yatza and Lo Yatza. What's Pshat Chovaso? Normally the Mishnah says Yatza and Lo Yatza. Why here does it say Chovaso? In fact, we'll go to this now, and then we'll come back. Go to the end of your booklet. At the very end of your book, you have the Tzlach. Pages 16 and 17. Who wrote the Tzlach? What? Well, first of all, we haven't defined yet what the Chova is. That's what we're going to come back to in a moment. It's a Machlokas Rishonim, it's a Machlokas Achronim. What's Lo Yatza Yidei Chovaso? Rabbi Gamliel used to come to a Seder every Pesach, and he would tell his children and grandchildren, Kindalach, unless we explain the matzah, the maror, the Pesach matzah and maror, we're not going to be yotze. And they would say, Zayda, what are we not going to be yotze? What are you not going to be yotze? What's the other option? What are the options of what you're not yotze? So one option is you're not the yotze Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. That part of the story is explaining the symbolism of matzah and maror. What's the other alternative? What are you not yotze? The other option is not yotze achila, that the mitzvah derais of matzah, the mitzvah derabanan of maror, that you're not yotze the achila unless you explain what they're all about. And we'll see those two opinions among the Rishonim. There's a third opinion, which is that there's an altogether new chova. There's a separate mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of sipur, there's a mitzvah of achila, matzah, and maror, and there's a chiyuv of saying over the three things. So we'll see all of those opinions in a moment. But let's go back to our question. What's pshat chova so? Usually the Mishnah says yatzah or lo yatzah. What does it mean chovaso? So the tzlach, who wrote the tzlach? Rav Yaakov Ettlinger lived in the 1800s in Germany. Rav Yaakov Ettlinger's great-great-granddaughter lived and attended the Boca Raton Synagogue. Mrs. Hannah Wagner, who's a great-great-granddaughter of the Oroch Lener, Rav Yaakov Eplinger. So it says the following, in his Tzlach. See where I have the arrow on page 16? Diktiku shalom marsha nearly diktik od b'masha amar lo yatzi dechavaso. Umaha yachaser ba'amro stam lo yatza. What would have been missing, what would have been lacking, if the Mishnah had just said what it normally says, which is lo yatza. Kamo sha'amru akore shema v'lo shmi la'azna lo yatza. You read shema, but you don't hear what you're saying, lo yatza. Umma kevin ba'amro, kivin ba'amro, yedei chavaso. What is the Mishnah adding? What is Rabbi Gamliel adding with the word chavaso? Any suggestions? Any ideas? Why not the usual lo yatza? What are we adding with the word chavaso? Any ideas? What?
Is everyone
only
individual responsibility? I think we have
to
wrong
Tzlach.
He's emphasizing the... No, you're right. I made a mistake. The Tzlach is not the... It's not Rav Yaakov Lender. The Tzlach is Rav Yecheskel Lender. The Tzlach is the Noda Biyuda, Rav Yecheskel Lender. I'm sorry. So the Aruch Lener, we're going to see the Aruch Lener shortly, Rav Yaakov Eplinger. Obviously, Rav Yaakov Eplinger wrote the Aruch Lener, is his Perish and Gemara, and he wrote the Binyan Tzion, or Shalas Achuvas. So that's Rav Yaakov. This is Rav Yecheskel Lander, the Noda Biyuda. So the Noda Biyuda says, why the word chovaso? Suggestions? Rabbi Friedman.
Well, lo yatza would mean that if you have an obligation and you didn't fulfill it, then that's not good. Lo yatza, if you have a chovaso, seems like you have not changed your entity. You did not go from one character to another. You did not make the secret of Yisrael that you were a slave and you got to freedom. It didn't change.
Okay, so maybe what you're saying is yatza and lo yatza describes a maisa. Chovaso describes a kiyum. Yatza yatza is, did you do the maisa? Kriya Shema, you have to hear what you said. You didn't hear what you said. Lo yatza, it's an action. Whereas chovaso is something transformational. The Mishnah had just said chayav adam liros es atzmo. So if you didn't, maybe lo yatza, maybe it's connected. Okay. Good. Any other suggestions?
The mitzvah is on each individual to say over the Haggadah.
The mitzvah is, although we saw, remember from the Lashon...
So he's emphasizing Chovaso that he has to not say.
Okay. But again, why not just Lo Yatza? So let's see what the Noda Biyuda says. Venira. Mishum dinigzar al avoseinu inu ivavoda arba me'oshana. At the Bris Ben Absarim, when God told Avraham that his children would be slaves in Egypt, the prediction was for how long? 400 years. Vehim lo ayu b'mitzrayim, rak radushana. We were only in Egypt for
210 years.
Ach b'yishav adover nechlekua midrashim. Yishmim dorshim ki koshi ashibud hishlim uvizmano yatzu. V'yishav dorshim shibud zu nischad she'arba golios she'anachnu ata b'golos harvi'i. V'kozo lahashlim golos mitzrayim. So there's two approaches. What happened to the missing 190 years? We're supposed to be enslaved for 400 years. We got out after 210 years. What happened to the other 190? Were they paid off or not paid off? What happened to the other 90? So says the Noda Biyuda, there's two approaches. One is that the 210 were so severe, were so intense, they were equal to 400. 400 would have had our torment and persecution be spread out over 400. Gersh Baruch Hu condensed it into 210, but it was as if it was 400. That's one approach. But the second approach, says the Noda Biyuda, is that in fact, you're right, we were taken out early, which meant we owed God. We had a debt of Golos that we still had to pay. And when are we paying it? We're paying it right now. In this fourth Golos, in the Golos that we're still in. Golos Edom. Shanachnu ata b'Golos Aravi, v'kozal hashlem Golos Mitzrayim. Ach az hayakoshi hashibud. Va'ata nepachu sha'arichas hazman mashlim koshi hashibud. V'ne'esh lo'chiyach, right, but we've been in it for a lot longer than 190 years. It's been more difficult. V'ne'esh yesh lo'chiyach sha'koshi hashib mitzrayim hu hishlim uvizman ha'amiti yatsanu. So which one is it? Which perspective is correct? Ask the Noda Biyuda. Ask Rabbi Yecheskel Lander. Which perspective is correct? He also has an ainikel in Boka. Howard Lander is a ben acha ben of Rabbi Yecheskel Lander, the Noda Biyuda. So, which perspective is correct? Is it that the 400 were condensed into 210, or is it that we're still paying off the debt? So, proves the Noda Biyuda, no, the 400 were condensed into 210. Did they say that a Pesach matzav achakach maror? The kevin shematzav romez legeula umaror romez l'shibud hayolahakdim maror l'matzav. Shor Shibud Kadam Lagaula. The Maror and the Gamliel should have said, you have to be Yotze, you have to say Maror and then Matzah. Of a Be'emes Adaraba, Hamaruhu Agaula Hamitis, Shahidesh Maruhu Chayayim Nishlam Hazman. The Maror is the Geula. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu embittered our lives so intensely and condensed it, that's why we got out sooner. So the reason it's in the wrong order and Maror comes at the end, says the Nodeb Yehuda, is that the Maror was responsible for the Geula. Because what we experienced was so intensely bitter, 210 instead of 400, that was responsible for the Geula. V'zeu kavanas Rav Gamliel, kosh la'amar gimel dvar malalu, da'ayinu lafarish tamam, la'yatza yidei chovaso, te'ikal ha'memar shiyatza kodem zman, v'adayinu anu chayavim l'shtabed, v'ayidei perish ha'tamim, v'az kasher olam ha'mara achar matzah, im kem b'zman yatza v'ayse Geula amitis. What's the chova? La'yatza yidei chovaso. It's a shtickle drush, but what's Rav Chizkel Ender saying? The lo yatza is not the obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim or of the eating of the matzah and maror. The lo yatza is, you shouldn't have left Egypt. We weren't due to get out till 400 years. So only by saying it in the right order and ending with maror, only with the recognition that the intense bitterness of the maror is what allowed the haste of the geula, that's yatza yidei chavaso.
Why
that's what he says is the pshat.
Aaron took Yitzchak, took Yaakov, he taught the Shvatim. But what do they have to learn?
Why did we have to be in Mitzrayim altogether? That's for a parsha class. That's a separate. It's a good question. It's a good question. A separate question. Okay. So let's go back. You may not like that answer. Maybe Rabbi Friedman's answer is better. That this is more than a ma'isa mitzvah of yatzah lo yatzah. There's a separate chi of sipur yetzias Mitzrayim. Doesn't just have a ma'isa mitzvah. There's a kiyum mitzvah of transformation of seeing oneself liros as atzmo. So maybe that's why Rav Gamliel has the extra lashon, not just lo yatzah. I like your answer better than the Nodeb Yehuda's answer, but I wanted to bring your attention to this question. What? Oh. Okay. So in other words, not lo yatza would refer to matzah and maror, but chovaso means that the way we fulfill Korban Pesach is by talking about it. Like Unishalma Parim Sfasenu, right? Based on the Navi, the Pasuk says Unishalma Parim Sfasenu, I think it's Yeshaya, that we bring the Parim through our lips, meaning by saying over the Avoda, we Yotze the Avoda. So maybe the Chovaso is Matzah and Maror Taka should just say Yatzah or Lo Yatzah. Chovaso is the Pesach which we're using our lips for. Okay, very nice, very nice. But let's go back now. We said, what's the Chova? Rabbi Gamliel teaches us, Koshal Omar. If you don't say over, you don't touch what the Pesach, Matzah, and Maror are, you're not Yotze. What's the Chova that you're trying to be Yotze? So here we have a Machlokas, Rishonim. Skip around with me a little bit. Go to page 14. The Rambam. Zok the Rambam. Why does Rambam Gamliel require you to say these things? What are they a din in? What is the Chova that you're not Yotze unless you say them? So Zok the Rambam in the 7th parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Halacha Hey, Kol Mishalo Amar Shalosh Dvarim Eilu B'Pel Pchamisha Asa Lo Yatzei Dechavaso Ve'Eilehen Pesach Matzah Mar Pesach Marar Matzah Udvarim Ha'Eilu, the very end of the Halacha Udvarim Ha'Eilu Kula Nikraim Haggadah. So how does the Rambam understand the mitzvah? What's the Chova that Rabbi Gamliel is teaching? According to the Rambam, what's the Chova? Is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what Haggadah is. Dvarma Elu Nikraim Haggadah. This story requires props. And if you don't use the props, you haven't adequately told the story. You need the props, and you need to describe the symbolism of the props. Otherwise, the chova for the Rambam is that you've not adequately told the story. The Ramban disagrees. Where is this Ramban? It's at the end of a very long comment at the beginning of the Mochamas, in the beginning of Meseches Brachos. The Ramban has a commentary on the Rif that appears in some Mesechtas. It's called the Mochamas. He disagrees there often with the Balamor and with the Ravid. So the Ramban, the Mochamas Hashem, it's at the beginning of Meseches Brachos, and it's at the end of a long comment having to do with Kriyashma. Rabbi Gamliel, at the beginning of Maseches Brachos, Rabbi Gamliel articulates a position about Kriya Shema. So at the end of a big discussion about Rabbi Gamliel's position about Kriya Shema, the Ramban now throws in the following doozy. V'shaninu kiyotze ba. You see what I underline on page 15? It says Brachos on the top. It's the Machamos in the bottom of the commentary of Brachos. Says the Ramban in his Machamos Hashem, Shaninu kiyotze ba. Kol shlo amar shlosh dvarim elu pesach lo yatzi dechavaso. When Rabbi Gamliel teaches lo yatzi dechavaso, he means you have not fulfilled the obligation b'shleimusa, but it doesn't mean that you'd have to go back and eat them again. So what do you see from the Ramban? The Ramban says that if you didn't explain what the matzah and the marah were all about when you ate them, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah b'shleimusa, but you don't have to eat them again. So what do you see for the Ramban? What's the chavaso? Eating. For the Rambam, it's all included in Haggadah. What was the lashon of the Rambam? The Dvarim La'elu Kulam Nikraim Haggadah. Talking about the symbols on the table, talking about the props, that's part of the Haggadah. So for the Rambam, when Rabbi Gamliel said, Lo Yati De Chavasa, what was the Chova? What was the obligation? Sipri Tzias Mitzrayim. For the Ramban, the Lo Yati De Chavasa means, if you eat the matzah and the mar, but you don't know what you're eating, and you don't know why you're eating it, lo yatza yidei chovasa. Not that you have to go back and eat it again, says the Ramban, but that's the chova that Rabbi Gamliel is talking about. You have to say it. You haven't been yotze b'shlei musa, so you have to now say it. But you see from the Ramban, the fact that he associates it with, in other words, for the Rambam, it would never occur to the Rambam that you'd have to eat it again. The Rambam would never have to say that if you didn't say Pesach, Matzah, Maror, you have to eat them again. Why would it not occur to the Rambam to even have to say that? Because it has nothing to do with the eating. It's a din sipri tzias Mitzrayim. But so Elamai, from the fact that the Rambam feels compelled to tell us you don't have to eat it again, you see that for him the mitzvah is connected with the eating. The chova is the chova to eat. The Aruch Lener, now we get to Rav Yaakov Etlinger, page 9. The Aruch Lener wants to say that Tosfos on our daf, that Tosfos is like the Ramban. See where the arrow is? The bottom right. It's the Aruch Lener Maseches Sukkah, page 9. The Aruch Lener Maseches Sukkah, Rav Yaakov Etlinger. And he says the following. There the Gemara in Sukkah says, Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. If you don't do such and such with sukkah, you've never been yotze. Ayin baran v'ritva shekotzva avshe inu rak zera derabonim, mikom makom shayach loshen zeh. To say that you're not yotze is even true on a mitzvah derabonim, or on a derabonim component of a mitzvah deraisa. And what's his evidence? Kamo b'mesha amar Rebbe Gamliel, ko shlo amar dvar ma'ila b'pesach, lo yotze yidei chavaso. V'chein sham b'psachem ala mishnah Gamliel, Kasav Aran, lo shelo yatza klal, ela shelo asa mitzvah ketikuna. In other words, for the Ran, for the Ritva, for the Ramban, if you didn't, Rabbi Gamliel didn't, when he says lo yatza dechovasa, he doesn't mean you haven't fulfilled it at all, he means you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah in its ideal. Umevi raya mehacha, achein atosus la'el kasvu, shaper shacha demidoraisa lo ke mitzvah sukkah, min atosus bezel shitasum azlu, degam sham bepsachem. Nira kavanasam to minatora lo yotzi dechovaso to diksav de asya meva amartem zevach pesach daide amira nasa pesach veiskash matzah umara lo pesach. Says the Aruch Lener of Yaakov Etlinger that according to Tosos is Rabbi Gamliel's din derabanan or deoraisa. According to Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, Rabbi Gamliel's din is deoraisa. How does he know that? Because the pasuk says that how do you know that you have to talk out? You have to explain what Pesach is, via martem zevach Pesach. And whatever is true for Pesach, through a hekesh we learn to matzah and to maror. Look at Tosos on Kufte Zayin Amin Aleph. Via martem zevach Pesach hu, perish, ba'amira shetzorach lomar, Pesach zeh shanu ochlim. Ve'iskish matzah umaror le Pesach, tzorach lomar nami matzah zu maror zeh. So, The Aruch Lener is trying to prove from Tosos that Rabbi Gamliel, according to Tosos, Rabbi Gamliel holds that this explaining Pesach, Matzah, and Maror is a din d'oraisa, and that you're not yotze the din and d'oraisa of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror if you haven't explained them. But then he continues, V'lulei divrei arishonim ayanir le'nezdaiti, Lefarish must this the psachim shein a perishim lo amartam pesa matzah mor lo yati de mitzvah zalalu elo lo yati de sipur yitzias mitzrayim shoy sipur yitzias mitzrayim bala pesach u mitzvah sasei mavad Hashem zazkaras yitzias mitzrayim shi b'chol laila. So the Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger doesn't like this approach, and he says, yeah, according to Tosfos, what mitzvah are you not yotze unless you explain it? You're not yotze the mitzvah of eating pesach matzah and mor. According to the Aruch Lanier, Tosfos comes out to be like the
Ramban.
Like the Ramban. So according to the Aruch Lanier, Tosfos is like the Ramban, but the Aruch Lanier personally prefers the position of the Rambam, that Rabbi Gamliel was talking about not the mitzvah of eating these things, but the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And why does he say that? Sure, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim b'la Pesach, mitzvah sasei, mavad inyin shal eskaras Yitzias Mitzrayim, shibuchol laila, kama sha'amar b'lazah ben Azariah, harayana kiven shiv mishana, v'haynu, So says the Aruch Haner the following. We said, what's the difference between the daily obligation of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim and the annual Pesach obligation of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Reb Chaim had three things distinctions. The Rav added the fourth distinction about saying Hallel. And here the Aruch Lanier adds a fifth distinction. And what's the fifth distinction? He wants to taina that Reb Gamliel is qualifying how your Yotze Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? Just remember that you were in Egypt and you left. But Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim requires you to remember Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So the Yaakov Ettlinger says, according to Tosfos and the Ramban, Koshlo, Lo Yatzei Dechovaso is referring to the mitzvah of eating Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. But Rav Yaakov Ettlinger prefers the interpretation of the Rambam and others who say, no, the mitzvah that you're not Yotzei, Yidechovaso, what's the Chova? Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Rav Gamliel is giving a shir. We know that Haggadah is different than Zechira. What's the shear? What's the measurement? How do you know if you've qualified? What's the criteria to fulfill Haggadah as opposed to Zechira? That says the Aruch Lanier is what Rav Gamliel was coming along to teach is, in order to fulfill Haggadah, you have to say Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. That is the approach of the Aruch Lanier. Yeah. It is interesting. Yeah. I am Asher Kesavti b'Shomer Tzio. You got to look it up in his Shomer Tzio. Yeah. Okay. I guess we're gonna have to stop here. Where we'll pick it up from Mirza Shem next week. We still have to explain the Mishnah. Why? Let me ask you two questions that I'll leave you with for next week. Why do we split up hollow? Why not say the whole hollow is one unit? When else in the year do we ever split up hollow? Hallel is a unit that goes together. So why does the Mishnah have this machlokus? Arheichan. Right? The Mishnah says, Arheichan u'omer. Beshamay and Beisilo. Do you go to here? Do you go to here? But both Beisilo and Beshamay both agree that you split up Hallel. So why are you splitting up? Why are you splitting up Hallel? That is question number one. Oh, we'll deal with that question next week. Amir Tzah Hashem. Rabbi Maskitz will bring in the Shir and Hilchah Shabbos in 3 minutes.